Hello and welcome to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show. This is Retro Asylum, episode 218. My name's Dean Swain, and this episode is all about the Vectrex. Now, I've been trying to do a Vectrex episode for, well, ages. It's a system that I passionately love. I first played one in the early 80s when it was first released in the UK, so it's probably winter of 83, 84, can't remember the exact year. But unfortunately, I'm the only one on the team who actually owns one. So rather than talk to the guys about it, I thought I would get someone else involved. So we're going to be talking to Alex Crowley, also known as Nintendo Arcade, if you watch him over on YouTube. And he's also a former host of the Tenpence Arcade. Now, Alex is really into the Vectrex and the arcade scene, so there will be a lot of chat about collecting arcade machines, various consoles, and of course the Vectrex. But that's coming up a little bit later. First of all, I thought we'd cover a little bit of news, and to be honest, there isn't much news out there at the moment. The big thing this week is that the Sinclair ZX Spectrum Next is finally being shipped to backers sometime this week, hopefully. And it was only the base models that are being shipped out at the moment. They're the ones that have been manufactured and put together first. Now, I had actually booked a couple of days off towards the end of the week because it is my birthday next week. So I thought I'd have a bit of time off and I'd get to have a tinker with my ZX Spectrum next. But like I say, unfortunately, it's only the base models that are going out, and I've ordered a plus model, which includes a real-time clock and a Wi-Fi module. And the accelerated model includes both of those, a Wi-Fi and a clock. And it's also accelerated with a Raspberry Pi, hence the name Accelerated. So, yeah, people who have backed those two models won't be receiving them just yet. Now, luckily, Steve only bought the base model, so he will get his hands on the Spectrum Next before the rest of the team. So, hopefully, by the time the next episode goes out, we should have his thoughts on the system. As long as he doesn't set it before he switches it on. We know what you're like, Steve. You do like to flog some stuff. Anyway, the other bit of news is that it looks as if Arcade Club are going to be opening a branch up in Blackpool. So that is the north of the country, well catered for now with arcade clubs. Leeds, Bury in Manchester, and now Blackpool. So, guys, if you're up north, you've got no excuse. There's got to be one relatively near you. Unlike down here in the south and the southeast, rent is very expensive. So we've got smaller arcades down here. One is Neon Knights, run by a former Retro Asylum host, Ali. It's very good. So if you're in the southeast, that's at Leon C. So please do check that out. Anyway, so yeah, that's the news. As you can tell, I'm here all by myself. The guys are having a bit of time off. The last episode, Manic Miner, which was a game club episode, obviously featured Mads and Chris. And that was a mammoth episode. I edited that one. And I was also on it, although I was fairly quiet towards the end while the guys talked about the levels. So yeah, they're having a bit of a rest. They will be back very, very soon, and as will Matt and Steve. So I ventured to go and see Alex Crowley yesterday, just over a 60 mile drive to get to his, and we had a great chat. Really good time playing on the Vectrex. It's a great system. Anyway, let's cut to that clip and see what you think. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Retro Asylum.
So, welcome to Retro Asylum, Mr. Alex Crowley.
How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad, mate, not bad. Thank you for inviting us, or, well, I sort of invited myself.
So. You invited yourself around here.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. It was about time,
a bit cheeky. Well, I thought I'd turn the tables, because you always turn up at people's doorsteps doing these great videos.
Yeah, knocking people up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's the first time you've been here, isn't it?
Because it is,
you
came
to the other place.
I've come to the other place.
It was a bit more Nintendo then, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. But this is, you've got all sorts.
I've slimmed it down a bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
But still a great collection. I think most people will be envious.
Yeah, I mean...
I've got four arcade machines sitting behind us.
Yeah, Astro Blaster, Sheriff, Rabotron, Donkey Kong Jr.
Yep, and there's some great systems here. Your SNES, PC Engine, Vectrex, of course, which we're going to talk about. Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah.
And a few other bits. Yeah.
All the 16-bit and 8-bit games, really, which I love.
Yep.
You know, a lot of what you see around me is what I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, collecting all those Spectrum games, and they're all the games I bought with my paper round money.
Yeah.
They're not games that I bought recently. They are the original ones, which I bought when I was about 8 or 9.
Yeah. There's some great titles there.
Yeah. Fantastic art cover, isn't there? Yeah. For a lot of the Spectrum games.
This is what I'd love to have in my place because, as you know, I use a shed in my games room. And a lot of the games, I don't really collect games as much, but the ones that I have got, they're just on a shelf. You can't really see the covers.
Yeah.
It's quite bland and boring looking, whereas this, this I love.
Well, I found when I had too many Super Nintendo games, they were all going on their edge, on their spine.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. I always have to have the front of the cover showing because the artwork's so fantastic, colourful, and it really pops in the room. You know,
I think you probably end up playing the games a bit more that way as well.
Yeah, you do. And to be honest with you, getting rid of a lot of the Super Nintendo games at first felt quite daunting. I thought, oh my God, it's taken me so long to get this collection together. Now I'm selling it. But actually, having the EverDrive means I can just pop that in and play them.
Yeah.
But I've kept my favourite ones and the ones I used to have back in the day.
Yeah.
Which I don't. So I've got about 30 Super Nintendo games now, and I'll probably just keep it at that, to be honest with you. And concentrate more on the arcade stuff, which is.
That's your main love.
Yeah, it is really. Yeah. Yeah. Because for me, you know, growing up in the 80s was a really big thing. It was as special as what. You know, Stranger Things makes it out to be. It was really special. You know, you'd queue up at the local swimming baths or down the pub, and you know, seeing a new game arrive on location was an amazing thing to see.
Mm. It was a party shop, wasn't it? Your local?
Yeah, it was. It was called Razzle, or we used to call it the joke shop because you could go in there and get party tricks in there, like. Artificial dog poo and
snap-its around the toilet
seat. Sting bombs, which we used to let off at school. So we went in there to get that, but also play the games. And they had
a great place.
They had a fact. It wasn't big. They only had about 8 machines.
Yeah,
and it was tight. You know, when there was a few people in there, it was really tight to get a go on anything. But they had, I remember Frogger. They had an iRobot in there, which was incredible. You know.
I didn't ever see that until years later.
No, and learning now, being in the hobby as long as I have been, realising how rare that cab is, I was lucky enough to have it there, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They had Rescue in there, a favourite of mine, Kung Fu Master, you know, odd games, but they did rotate them. But I remember Rescue being there quite a long time, which probably I was responsible for putting so many coins
so
in
there. So much money. It's strange because where I lived, there was an arcade on Mare Street, and that was Crowns. But, of course, gambling laws, I think you had to be over 16 or 18, I can't remember. So we used to sneak in there, school uniform, you know, 12 or 13, and probably get chucked out halfway through a game a lot of the time. But most of the machines were either in kebab houses, chip shops, cafes.
Yes.
And there was a cafe down Well Street Market, and it was called Invaders Cafe.
Oh, right.
It got known for its arcade. And once the arcade scene died out, that cafe closed down because the food was terrible.
Really? No one went in there for any other reason but the machines.
It was just arcade machines.
That's awesome. I mean, when we were kids, like, when your mum and dad, when we were on holiday, mum and dad wanted to go in the pub, have a drink. Kids weren't allowed in the pub.
No,
you know, it was all curtains back then, wasn't it? And
just wait out in the car.
Well, sometimes a lot of the pubs had sheds down the end of the garden or games with a pool table and there'd be a little Space Invaders or I remember a Space Firebird actually and Dad would give you a lemonade and a packet of Salt and Shake and you'd go down there and, you know, you'd be away from the folks.
I think that's how much I got into, as how I got into Scramble so much was my granddad used to go to a working man's club over in Chingford, and that did have like a kids' room. And
yeah.
A couple of machines in there, one of them being Scramble.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd be in there all night.
Yeah.
It was the only place where it was sort of smoke free.
Yeah.
I had asthma as a kid. Yeah. So,
But it's funny though, isn't it? Because, you know, people complain now, like you see families in pubs and the kids are on their screens.
Yeah.
We were on
screens. They were bigger ones.
They were better ones.
Yeah.
Funny, yeah, isn't it? How things not changed, but not really.
Right. So I've been meaning to do a Vetrex episode for forever. I've had one for 10 years plus now.
Yeah.
But no one else on the team has got one. So rather than me just talking about it and they're going, oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I wanted to find someone who also loves the Vetrex.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to get you on the show for ages.
Yeah, and I've been trying to come on.
Yeah, sorry. It's not wanting you on. It's,
no.
There's a list of people who'd love to come on and
it's
just
work
bringing up the right subject. Yeah, and just getting a free day. So, yeah, I've travelled up here to Alex's place and we've got a Vectrex in front of us. So,
yeah, and it's on its side.
It is on its side in this weird frame.
Well, the frame was actually made by Victor Marland, who does the Tempest
Arcade.
He makes lots of things.
He does.
Actually, he's got great love for the Vectrex as well. And, yeah, what you see in front of you is a frame that you made on a 3D printer.
Right.
It's quite handy, actually, because obviously a lot of the games are on emulation here.
You've got a Vec Fever cart.
I have. I'm lucky enough to own one.
Yeah, these are very, very rare and very expensive.
They are.
Hard to come by. I would love one.
Yeah, and I'd love you to get one, to be honest with you, because you've got the passion for it.
It probably means selling the wife, though, or something at the moment, until some more are made.
Not a good idea, no.
So, this cart, it allows some games to be emulated via main.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know quite know the technical side how they do it, but they've some Vector arcade games they've been able to re-engineer or program onto the Vec Fever cart. I don't know if they're exact copies, but to me, they're pretty damn.
Yeah, I should imagine, apart from the sound, they're playing.
You wouldn't
know
any difference at all, to be honest.
Well, we're looking at Asteroids here.
Asteroids
Deluxe, and you've got a special overlay with the UV light.
That's right.
And the moon there, it just looks super.
Yeah, my moon's on the side, but I kind of like that. You can actually get a horizontal UV overlay with the moon. It's actually for Space Invaders.
Right.
But it looks cool, the Asteroids, isn't it?
It does.
And, you can. My Vectrex is actually modded, so it's had it's had the sound.
Yeah, because you've got it hooked up to speakers, haven't you?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called now. So it's had the Buzz Off kit.
Yep.
And it's also had a audio tap installed.
Right,
so I can plug it into an amplifier.
Yep.
And it's actually got stereo sound.
Yeah.
And on some of the games, it sounds absolutely incredible.
Well, no, it is like bouncing around the room.
It is.
That's amazing, yeah.
And I've got these neon speakers. Lucky enough to find these on eBay. Actually, my girlfriend put me on to them. She said, if you're going to get some speakers, you're going to get some cool ones.
Right.
You know, she's everything for cool and a little bit different. That's what I love about her. So she found these actually on eBay and they were boxed NOS from 1987.
Wow.
They're not remakes. They are originally from 1987. So the speakers are...
It sets the room off because of the neon lights as well.
Exactly. And I love neon, you know.
Yeah, it was arcade, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's a nice low light and it kind of glows like the Vectrex.
Yeah.
I think it looks great with the Vectrex. The only trouble I have with the... Obviously, with the Vec Fever, some games don't all play horizontally. So you have to keep flipping it around. Flip the Vectrex on
its
side.
Of course, you've got to be very careful with your Vectrex.
Yes.
Because you don't want to damage it. So really, you'd like a second one.
I would, I would. And another Vec Fever card. But I'm in line with you, aren't I? I'm behind you for that one.
I wouldn't get... Well, you can jump the queue. I wouldn't want to see one broke.
Because
you're twisting it around. Yeah. But, ideally, I guess you're right. using two is probably the best way around.
It is because, you know, a lot of the homebrew games are all vertical, and you don't want to keep swapping the machine up and down all the time.
Yeah.
So ideally, if you are a lover of the Vectrex, you need two, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and they're not getting any cheaper.
No.
I was looking on eBay because a few of our listeners have been buying them, because every now and then I do bang on about how good the Vectrex is on the episodes. And, Clint Humphrey, who's a listener, he received his during the week, and it was damaged.
Oh, that's a shame. That's
badly.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly the back of the case, which you can obviously take off and
you
can repair it. You know, the actual machine's working.
Yeah, if you're going to buy one of these, I would say to listeners, if you can pick it up, all the better.
Yeah.
And what you'll find with a lot of the Vectrex is they're all up north. I think the factory was up north, so a lot of them tend to be up north when they go to sale.
I've done a little bit of research for this, and the only place I could find them on sale was Woolworths. I'm not sure if anywhere else sold them in the UK. I might be totally wrong. But I've seen a few adverts, and, you know, by the end of 1984, they were selling them off for $39.99. Mm.
So did you have one back in the day?
No, I didn't. But my cousin got one for Christmas, and I don't think he even had any games with it. I remember playing Mindstorm, which is a built-in game. And you know, I only played it on this, it's probably Christmas of 84 or 83. Mm. And it was just etched in my mind, you know.
Yeah.
And then in the early 90s, I don't know if you remember the CEX down at Rathbone Place.
Mm.
They had one in their basement. And, you know, I saw it and I think they had it up for a silly amount.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, these just didn't seem to... They weren't very...
To be honest with you, I had one back in the day.
Oh, you did?
And I didn't like it.
You did?
I didn't like it. I bought it probably after they stopped making them. So it was around about 86, 87. Right. I was still at school, so I had probably one more year at school left. Excuse me, I have to cough. And the games... I remember going to Woolworths and trying to look for the games, and there wasn't that many, and got bored of it. I don't think I had it very long, to be honest with you. And then it was only recently I picked one up again, and it's only because of the homebrew scene and the Vet Fever cart that really has given me the interest I like.
Because I think it has had like a new lease of life, though, because of the homebrew scene, because I think there was only about 28 titles released for it originally.
Yeah, and a lot of them are not great, to be honest with you.
No.
Right. There are some good ones. Berserk is a fantastic one, but I think someone else is making another version of that.
Yeah.
With the speech and everything.
Right.
Scramble's great.
Yep.
Pole Position's not bad if you've got a spinner.
That's not a bad... I've not got a spinner. We'll have to speak to Vic.
Yeah, well, maybe you can have that one.
Yeah.
He's making me a Tempest spinner.
Right, okay.
But you're welcome to that one.
Cool.
Spike's quite an odd little game. It's got a bit of speech to it.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, Starship. I'm looking at my collection there.
Yeah.
I haven't got a complete collection. But yeah, Starship's good. Space Wars is good.
What would you say is your favourite out of the original lineup?
Out of the original lineup? I don't know. I quite got into Armour Attack recently.
Yeah. That's the helicopter and it's an arcade conversion, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, funny enough, the arcade actually came up for sale in England about a month ago.
Yeah.
And it sold. I was gutted. I never put a bid on it.
Yeah.
Actually, a friend of mine managed to secure the deal. He got it for £350, original Armour Attack arcade machine. And he got it for £350. I was like, I can't believe it. You know, it's such a rare cab.
Yeah.
But it plays exactly the same as the Vectrex version.
Yeah.
And it is a good little game. I quite like it, but...
Is it more of a two-player game?
It is, really, yeah. But yeah, my favourite, I don't know, Scramble or Berserk, probably.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the homebrew scene, it's really...
The homebrew scene is just taken off, yeah. So what got me into that? In fact, I've got to thank another fellow collector, Chris CMP, who does demonstrations, doesn't he, at Revival. Yeah. He usually brings along, I don't know, 10 Vectrexes. He's got a fantastic collection.
He's publishing games as well.
He publishes games. I mean, he's got pretty much every Vectrex game.
Yeah.
Every homebrew, every version. When you see his collection, it is unbelievable. And he's actually developing games as well, and he's made two so far. Big Blue.
Yep.
And Frontier, which is actually a kind
it's
of
a sheriff
spin-off of Sheriff. Yeah, yeah, it plays completely different than Sheriff, really.
Because of the controls.
But it plays well, and it's a fun game. Yeah. I really enjoy it, actually. And Big Blue is sort of set, a little bit like Scuba Dive, yep. Spectrum, sort of going down in the water. Mm. To collect the
I've
oyster
been
shell.
Meaning to buy some games off of him. And
yeah, he should. I mean, he's developing another game now as well.
Yeah.
But I can't say too much about
that. Fair enough. But I'll speak to Chris myself then.
Yeah, if anyone's at Revival, go up and talk to Chris. Yeah. He's a lovely guy.
He is a nice guy. And like you say, it's an amazing collection. He was showing me the 3D Imager glasses.
Yeah, I've never... Are they good?
They are very good. There's, I can't remember the name of the game, but it's obviously in 3D. And the way it works, it's like one eye at a time, but it's moving so fast.
Yeah, right.
It makes the 3D effect work really well.
I wonder how that works, because...
The original 3D Imager, though, it looks like the... Especially if someone like me who's got a big nose, I reckon I lose a chunk of my nose because the disc is spinning.
Weird.
It gets very close to your nose, yeah.
It doesn't work like the Virtual Boy then, with two images.
I don't. Well, it might do. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I've got to admit, I don't understand. In and outs of it. But it works very well, and they were the first 3D glasses for any system. A lot of people think that the Master System.
Right, okay.
The first 3D set of glasses.
I bet they're not cheap to get hold of, are they?
No, but I think there are people making their own versions.
Right,
so
okay.
That helps.
But and then you've got the light pen as well, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I've never used that, but that does look interesting. I think there's a music package for it, a package, and a few other things.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah.
There's lots of add-ons you can get for the Vectrex, which I haven't even explored yet.
Yeah. There's lots of different controllers. Obviously, a lot of people are using Mega Drive controllers, but that lacks an analog stick.
Yeah, now,
I think there's only 2 or 3 games that use analog. But
yeah, so I've actually thought about that. Actually, there's a couple of things I really want for the Vectrex now is a adapter so you can use the Mega Drive.
Yep.
But what I want to do is use a Mega Drive to SNES, so I'll have to have 2 adapters, so I can use my Sheikah arcade stick, which was hand built for the Super Nintendo, just so I can play Protector, which is a Defender clone,
a very flash one,
and that is really difficult to play with the original controller, which are crap, aren't they? Really?
Yeah, they're awkward, aren't they?
They are.
They're very awkward.
It's the joystick's too spindly.
I think. I mean, you can buy a new spring for it.
Oh, can you?
In. Yeah, which if it's touched yours, but it's not too bad. No. Some of them are very, very loose. Yeah, similar to my one. But the spring goes in them.
Right,
you lose the analog control, so you can get that. But the trouble is, the joypads have an overlay.
Yeah,
and that's where the screws are.
So
it means taking the original overlay. People do sell reproduction overlays to put back on them.
Oh, okay. To be honest with you, that only comes out when I'm playing Protector at the moment.
Yeah.
If I can get the VEC adapter to a Mega Drive to SNES adapter, then I'll probably use my Super Nintendo arcade stick, which I've seen working. I know there's a
YouTube, it can be done.
Yeah, there's a YouTuber called Cine Steve.
Yep.
And he's done it.
Right.
So, there are options.
Cool. There's just so much available for it. I mean, I've brought along this RadPad, which is expensive. It's £100. It's made by a guy called Oliver Radford. So you can see what he's done with the name.
I like the button layout.
Yeah.
It's better than the straight line,
the stick's
isn't it?
It's really like... high on it. That's the thing.
But
it's all right.
So the buttons are on a curvature, aren't they?
Yeah.
Instead of
it makes it
line.
A bit easier with a lot of the games.
Yeah.
And,
fits well in your hands.
Yeah, I've got girl hands, as you can see.
You're a trucker.
I'm a trucker
got
with girls.
How the hell
girls
did you get
hands.
That job, Dean?
It's a lot of turning. I think this is a really nice pad, but expensive.
Yeah.
£100. And that's the trouble with the Vectrex. It's a very expensive system. To collect for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, A lot of systems are these
but,
days.
But it's very rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's totally unique.
Yeah.
There was nothing like this at the time. It was very niche at the time. And all these years on, it's still the only.
Yeah, it's just like got a nice glow to it. Obviously, it's not a raster monitor, it's a vector monitor. It's using lines. It's got just a nice glow to it that you don't get. It's almost like looking into a goldfish bowl.
It's very relaxing. You could just watching
fish. Do you know what I mean?
There's probably a demo, because there's even a demo scene, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah, there's a demo scene, and you probably get that, a goldfish bowl effect.
Yeah.
It's, I think, with this UV light that's been introduced the past couple of years, it just makes the games look even better.
Yeah, so the UV light is done by James G. Watt.
Yep.
Who, he makes something else. I can't remember what else he makes, but it basically just plugs into the joystick port.
Yeah.
It's 9-volt, I think it is. And then it's got like a UV LED light that goes around the frame that he's actually made as well.
Yeah.
And then you get the overlays, which are UV overlays, which are made by Lawrence
I can't remember his surname. I can't remember.
But,
sorry, Lawrence.
Yeah, sorry, Lawrence. But Lawrence, fantastic guy to deal with.
Yeah.
He's on the Vectrex Unite Facebook page, and he makes all the UV overlays for all the games.
Yeah.
And especially the ones with the arcade games in. I think he's doing a Star Wars one now. He's done so many.
Yeah, I've seen the Star Wars one.
I mean, I've got a whole box of UV overlays here.
Yeah.
I've got one, actually. It's a sniper scope for Battlezone.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't work great. You've got to kind of shut one eye, if you like.
squint a lot.
Yeah, squint a bit. But it is interesting how they do that. And it is interesting what they can do with the UV, because there's a game like, is it Death Race?
Yep.
I think Vic used to have the old arcade cabinet. It's a really old arcade game where you're running over, it's quite controversial.
Yeah,
you have to run over people.
Yeah.
And the conversion they made for the Vectrex, when you run the people over, it would turn the UV light on. And if you had the UV overlay, a skull would appear.
Ah, right.
But you'd only see that when you'd run people over.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really interesting concept.
It's amazing what they're doing with it. You know, all these different things. And yeah, using that. Because I've got a UV light, but I cheaped out. I haven't bought one like this. I've just got a normal UV light just stuck on the wall somewhere. it just reflects onto the
Vectrex. Well, it will do. It will bounce around the room.
Yeah. But obviously, if I was playing that game,
yeah,
it doesn't know to go off
to go on and off. But there's games like he's done a copy of the arcade game Warrior, which is a really early vector-based game.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the early fighting games, you know, one-on-one fighting games where you're fighting each other. It's quite clunky. So you're two guys with swords and you're bashing each other. It doesn't quite connect very well.
Mm.
But on the actual screen, there are holes that you can fall down.
Right.
But you can't see them until you put the overlay on. And it's the same, it works on the same basis as the arcade game. You know, you can't play it in MAME, you have to play the arcade version to see where the holes
overlays,
are. So yeah, it's interesting. You could do so many things with that going forward, you know, if you're a games developer. I think it's really, really cool.
Yeah. So this Vec Fever cart, how much did you pay for it? Give up a liver or?
I paid £100 for it.
£100
Not bad. But I was, you know, I was in talks with people to get one.
A lot of negotiating on the table.
Yeah, I had to. I actually did a deal with a guy called Cosmic Vector.
Right.
He's really into his vector games.
Yeah.
And I've been on at him for ages and, you know, we got on so well. He was such a nice guy. He said, I'll try and sort you out one. And he saw my watch. I had an Asteroids watch.
Right.
From Fossil. Do you remember Fossil brought out his arcade watch? And he said, oh, I really like that watch. I said, well, I'll tell you what, mate. If you get me that Vec Fever cart, you can have that watch.
And he secured the deal.
It secured the deal, and I sent it off to him. And now he's the lucky owner of an Asteroids watch, I'm the lucky owner of a Vec Fever cart.
How much was the watch worth?
About the same as the cart.
Yeah.
So it's cost me £200 probably, but I got one.
For how much they're going for now, though, that's not a bad deal.
It's a deal changer. You know, it's for what that Vet Fever cart has given me, I mean, Asteroids Deluxe, you've got Battlezone on there. You've got so many. In fact, let's just have a look through what games are on here. It's just, so arcade games, you've got Asteroids, Asteroids Deluxe, Battlezone, Black Widow. Now, I don't know if you've ever played that in the arcade.
It's I have, yeah, that's years old.
Oh, it's an awesome game. So basically, Black Widow is a twin stick shooter, very similar to Robotron, but obviously it's Vector. And you're in a spider's web and you've got to defend the web. It's difficult to play on here because you need two sticks, so really you need two controllers.
Right, yep.
And that's why I was thinking about getting the Vect adapter. So if I use two of these arcade sticks, that game would actually really work really well. Boxing Bugs. I haven't played that actually, and I don't think it's that great. Gravatar. What a game Gravatar is.
Oh, yeah.
Rock hard. Do you remember Gravatar? It was on the front cover of the Who's album.
Yeah.
This is hard. And it is bloody hard. It really is hard. But it is really, really good. And the more you play it, the better you get at it, obviously. Lunar Lander.
Yep.
Not everyone's favourite, but again,
I quite like it.
I do.
It's frustrating, I find.
It is, and for me, that basically represents that whole era, because everything growing up in the 80s was to do with space in the 70s. And as kids, we loved anything to do with space.
Yep.
You know, we were watching all the Apollo landings and, you know, the space shuttle explorations into space and, you know, having a go on a machine that was, where you could land an Apollo ship was just incredible. Yeah. Red Baron is a fantastic game. Have you played that?
I don't think I've ever played it. I've seen it.
So I think it's similar hardware to Battlezone.
Yep.
Someone actually brought an arcade version to the Cambridge Computer Museum last year, which I didn't attend. I was gutted because I'd like to have played that. That is a brilliant game where you're taking control of a fighter plane in Second World War. Yeah. Really, really good. Rip Off, Solar Quest, Space Jewels, great. So that's the evolution of Asteroids, two-player. Space Wars, Space Freak, I don't know what that is. Star Castle, Star Hawk. We can actually,
so that's the actual arcade version rather than the arcade Vectrex version.
Yeah. Tail Gunner, Tempest. Oh, my God. That plays brilliantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only gripe with it is it's on such a small screen, it is difficult to see what's coming up the tunnel.
Right,
I'm really falling in love with Tempest. Now, obviously, I played it back in the day, but,
on
the arcade, but obviously, we only had so much money back in the day, so we didn't really get to master the game. So you really need the game, you need to own the game to master it, and I've got really good at it now, but not that good.
And that works well with a spinner.
It does. It works fantastically, yeah. I really want the arcade machine now, actually. Warrior, which is the game I was just talking about. That's... can't remember what that game is. So that's basically all the arcade conversions. Oh, it's disappeared. And then you've got... blimey, you've got all the button games.
Yeah.
Moonlander. These are conversions of...
yeah, these are some of the...
Rockoids, which you can get on your...
yeah, I've got these on my... so I've got a Vec Multi cart, which is...
which is pretty good, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you've got all of these. I think I paid probably about 40 quid for this.
Right.
And this allows me to have the entire library, which I have a lot of the games anyway, but it's nice. I don't have to keep swapping cartridges. So I've got a lot of games on this, plus a lot of the homebrew stuff, apart from games which, because not all of them are available for download. A lot of them you have to buy the physical cartridge, such as Vector Patrol, which is an outstanding Moon Patrol.
Oh, let's talk about that. What a game.
This guy, Christian Tutz, is it? Yeah. I think his name is. These games, they're just something else.
Oh,
I mean, they're pushing the machine so much, it's unreal.
The presentation got me. Just the whole sound, the visuals, the cutscenes.
Yeah.
Cutscenes going on.
Yeah. It's just 3D
spaceships.
Moon buggy. Yeah, it's just amazing. I haven't played Vector Pilot. You're a big fan of the arcade machine, aren't you?
Yeah, Vector Pilot is a good game. You haven't played that?
Well, I haven't. Oh, right, no, well, we'll so play we'll that, put that on.
That is brilliant. That actually is my favourite.
Really? Yeah. We'll have to pick it up.
Yeah. And that is brilliant. And Vectarians.
Yeah, I don't think I've played that either. But
that's basically Galaxians.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of the stuff like Protector I have got on here. So, because that was one of the...
Protector's brilliant game. I just wish he could make it a horizontal game. It's just like Defender.
Yeah, it's too narrow, isn't
it? It's too narrow. You can't not see enough of the screen.
But the Space Invaders clone that he's got on there...
He's brilliant. And it's brilliant.
That doesn't look like a Vector game, does it? He's managed to...
Yeah. It looks raster, doesn't it? Pixel art, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. That's really cool. And what I like about these games is the boxes... And the presentation, when you open it, you get an instruction manual, you get the overlay, you get everything with it, don't you?
That's it. I mean, I guess some people might think they're quite expensive. I think they're about £50 each.
What, the games? No, I think they're cheaper than that.
Are they cheaper than that?
Yeah, they might be. I think they're that dear.
But they come with, you know, colour instructions. Yeah. It's all presented well. You get the overlay.
Oh, if you're a fan of the old arcade games, you have to have those in the collection. They are an absolute must.
I mean, that Vector Patrol, I was expecting, because I love Moon Patrol anyway, so I was expecting it to be a good game. But just, like you say, the presentation.
So have you found any hidden things in that game? Any? You know,
no, I haven't.
You haven't? Because there is in Vector Pilot, if you get to the end.
Yeah?
Yeah. It all goes really weird and trippy, and it's really, really cool. It's like, oh my God, what's happening now?
We'll have to have a go at that then.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's just, I think, you know, such an amazing scene. These games being developed for it, and the overlays, the UV light, all these controllers that Vic's doing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It's a must-have, isn't it? Absolute must-have. And then you've got, like, loads of demos on here of music demos. People are making music for it as well. Yeah. So you can have it on in the background.
Yeah. You showed me just when I came in, Gary Newman Cars.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's like a little... picture of Gary Newman
driving
Vectors, driving a car, and the music's great, you know.
Yeah, it uses the same sound chip as a one way case.
In fact, we can let's see if we can put that on because it is, what was that on music? Yeah, there we go. So, here we go, guys. This is Gary Newman's Cars through the Vectrex.
That's sweet. And it's animated as well.
It's animated. It's just, slowly moving.
Yeah, he's slowly moving about.
So cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I can't recommend this system enough.
Yeah.
I keep banging on about it. And like I say, I've just... The guys, I talked to them about it, and they're probably thinking...
So have they got any interest in getting one then, or...?
I don't know. I think they see them... You know, like Chris's display at Revival. And they think, oh, it's cool. And that maybe they're put off by the price. Do you know what it is? Some of the games are limited. But
it's getting hold of the Vet Fever cart, I think. Because I found that really frustrating every time I went out to see Chris and he'd have, you know, an arcade game running. And I'm like, well, can I
want to play that.
I said, no, you can't. Unless you get a Vet Fever cart. It's like, I was so frustrated.
Has there been any talk of people... producing these games for the system, like standalone carts. So I think even that would...
Yeah, I think going forward, someone's going to have to develop something for it. Yeah. I don't know whether it be...
There is talk that the guy who's developed Vec Fever is going to release a load more. But at the moment, it's still not confirmed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just that the amount of money that they're going for.
Yeah, because someone
had priced me right out.
Yeah, because someone actually did have a computer with MAME set up running into a Vectrex.
Yeah, I think I remember.
I mean, the Vectrex wasn't running, the computer was, but you could see
the
display
game. Fired a Vectrex.
Exactly. Yeah. So, that was impressive.
Mm.
If there was some way of doing that.
Yeah.
And putting it onto a cart. And available for everyone, that'd be amazing. mind you, it would put the prices up of Vectrexes, wouldn't it?
Well, they've gone up already. I mean, you go on eBay and, you know, they're just getting dearer and dearer. I picked one up for one of our listeners, actually, last weekend. I had to go over to Poplar in East London, and this Vectrex was supposed to come with 3 or 4 games, and it was up for £250.
Mm.
And the lady couldn't find the games, so Martin, who I bought it for, he knocked it down to £220.
Mm.
It just had the scramble overlay.
Right.
But
that's a lot, isn't it, just for that?
It is, and the thing is, I didn't notice it at the time, but one of the channels on the sound chip isn't working,
right.
So he needs to replace the sound chip.
Yeah.
I opened it up, and because there's various versions of the Vectrex, this one you can just lift the sound chip out and replace it. A lot of them you need to desolder it, resolder. Oh, okay.
So what, that's it's the later revisions. Versions?
Yeah. I think it might be that the early American ones are the ones, because it was produced by
Milton Bradley.
It was Milton Bradley in Europe, and I can't remember the name of the company for America. And then Milton Bradley did take over distribution worldwide, apart from Japan, which was Bandai.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a couple of different revisions. It just means you've got to unsolder stuff if you've got one of the earlier ones.
Yeah.
And there were models, apparently, really late in the run that didn't have the buzz.
Mm.
You know, they cured that problem. But I don't really mind it. I mean, you've got yours.
Well, I think if you're going to run it through,
if you're going to
get the audio tap and run it through speakers, you know, get rid of the buzz, definitely.
Yeah. How much did you pay for your Vectrex, if you don't mind me asking?
I think I paid about £150 for that.
Yeah. And how long ago was that?
That was only about a year ago.
That's not bad.
But I've had a few before then.
Mm. And regretted getting rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was only until I got the Vet Fever cart, and then I thought, that's really changed it. And a lot of my money's gone into the Vectrex now. Yeah. Because
I mean, it's a system I love, and I still haven't got a Vet Fever cart, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, what it's doing, especially, I love Star Wars, the arcade game.
Yeah.
And I've seen it running. Chris showed me it at Revival last year. It didn't have the overlay then, but it looks so much like the arcade game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd have a word with him if I was you, you know.
Yeah.
Tell him what
hopefully
you're doing.
Someone can sort me out.
Yeah.
And pick one up, because it really does open it up.
You definitely need one, Dean.
I do.
Yeah.
I think I deserve one.
But you don't deserve mine.
No. Don't worry. I'm not going to nick yours. I haven't come to... Yeah, I will swap that. You can have the rad pad at all.
Yeah.
Joking. I bought this, the rad pad, because my boy uses my Vectrex, and like I say, the springs go in the original controllers, and sometimes he's only 7.
So what does he play on it, then?
Mainly Mindstorm. Loves Asteroids, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, my kids are not interested in any of my retro stuff at all.
Well, my daughter isn't. It's funny. I've got a picture of her we use as a test card on her videos of her on the Vectrex.
Yeah.
And half of that picture was taken. She like threw the controller down and walked away. She's got no love for retro games.
No.
She doesn't understand why.
No, I can understand why. I mean, you know, I had a bit of interest in what my dad did when he was in the 60s, like the music and stuff. And the bikes, actually, because he was into motorbikes.
Yep.
But I think you've really got to be there growing up in that era
you've
to appreciate
got to
it, haven't you?
It, I think. Yeah.
And it's special to you, isn't
it? Yeah. Whereas my boy, he's still gaming. He loves the retro stuff, but he's also into Minecraft.
Yeah. And for us, it's about the challenge of getting the score as well, the high score.
Yeah.
Whereas
I was
going to
ask, that Vec Fever, does it save high scores?
It does.
Is that on all the games or just the arcade stuff?
I'm not sure. It's definitely on my Asteroids.
Yeah, I saw
I've got
your
my
name.
Asteroids Deluxe high score in there, which is there's my name up the top there, 45,630.
Yeah,
it's not a bad score.
It's not a bad score at all.
Yeah,
that just looks amazing.
It does.
It really does.
Yeah. So I've also got a half mirror effect. The overlays that Lawrence does are incredible. So it's like a mirror you can put on in front of the screen, and then there's another
with stars.
Overlay with stars, and you put the UV light on, and you get like a half mirror effect, so it looks like the vectors are floating. on the thin air, which is incredible.
It's amazing. It really does. That's what I mean. It's just, you know, for a system that was dead by the end of 84.
Yeah.
It just seems to have had this new
resurgence
of life. Yeah.
No, he's great, mate.
All this stuff had been available at the time. Can you imagine it?
Oh, I guess it would have been too expensive.
Yeah, it would have done because, you know, a lot of the new games, they take up a lot more memory.
Yeah. And it's getting developers onto a system. If it's not selling well, how can you get good developers to make games?
I think all the games were developed by the original company, CGE or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
But, you know, although there was conversions of the arcade games like Scramble, it wasn't Koinami who developed it.
Right, okay.
It was just in-house programmers.
Right, okay. Be interesting if you get hold of them.
Yeah.
For an interview or something, see if I can make any more.
It'd be great. The good thing is that, because Hasbro bought Milton Bradley, and then the original company who developed the Vectrex bought the rights back, and then they released all the games into the public domain. So people are allowed to re-release the games on cartridges as long as they don't make too much of a profit. They're not breaking the law. So that's why if you look on eBay, you'll get new versions of Mindstorm. It's usually Mindstorm 2, because it's got the original Mindstorm, you can only go up to level 13. With Mindstorm 2.
What does it do when you get to 13? It just crashes.
It just crashes, yeah.
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
Kill screen on it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That is the Vectrex.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Enjoying the show? Why not check out some other great retro gaming podcasts like The Retro Hour, RGDS, Maximum Power Up, Arcade Attack, Arcade Perfect, and the Tenpence Arcade.
Dean Alan Swain, podcast host, gamer, truck driver, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all 8-bit computers have. Then, an accidental shock from a wonky power supply alters his body chemistry. And now, when Dean Swain grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Sodding poxy bloody game, it's rubbish!
The creature is annoyed by bad games and pursued by bitter publishers.
Mr. Wilcox, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
The creature is mocked for not recording enough episodes per year. Dean Swain is believed to be dead, and he must let the world think that he is dead until he can find a way to record without his family making too much noise in the background.
You lot, shut up! I'm trying to record in here!
Right, so you've got some other stuff here. While I'm here, we might as well talk about it.
Yeah.
So, 4 arcade games in here, a few more dotted around the place.
Yeah, so I've got in the garage, I've got the Sky Skipper.
Yep, which is Nintendo's an amazing cabinet that you've
got. Well, yeah, it's the story.
It's
the story behind it, really. Yeah. The fact that it was never released.
Yeah.
It went on Earn's testing in America, didn't fare very well up against Donkey Kong, and they only made 12 cabinets.
Yeah.
So they scrapped 11, kept one, and that had been in Nintendo's headquarters for 30-odd years until we got in there.
They allowed you access. Itself is amazing.
I know. And they allowed us to scan it and vectorize all the artwork so we could recreate the cabinet.
Yeah.
Because we had the original hardware, which I'd found. And
that was in an arcade raid, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in an arcade raid up the north of England somewhere. Yeah. I can't remember, Newcastle or somewhere. And I just recognised the code for the board.
It was on a Popeye board.
Yeah, so what Nintendo did is, because the hardware was so expensive then, they obviously made so many Skyskipper PCBs, they didn't want to just scrap them. They just converted them to Popeye.
Mm.
So what I found actually was a Skyskipper board that had been engineered to play Popeye.
Yeah.
So my job was to reverse engineer it back to Skyskipper, which I got my friend Mark to do.
Yep.
And I had two boards. I sold one to Whitney in America, who I've made really good friends with. And once we'd done that, we just by coincidence, really, Whitney met Billy Mitchell at a games convention, and he mentioned Skyskipper to him. And when Billy Mitchell won or got the world record on Donkey Kong back in the early 80s. Yeah. He was invited into NOA.
And he remembered
seeing it. And he said, well, let me have a word with Nintendo of America. And we were, you know, looked at, I mean, to make sure we were genuine.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd watched my videos to see I actually had the board.
Mm.
And once they realised I had the actual original hardware, they invited us in. So, you know, Whitney had to go there. And I was invited, but obviously going to America was a lot of money for me.
Yeah.
So, but we went as a team. He went on my behalf as well. You know, I remember him ringing me just before he went in. I said, have you got everything? Because, and I reminded him what he needed to have, the key, Nintendo key to open the back of the cabinet in case he didn't have one.
Yeah.
And he'd forgotten it.
Oh, no.
But luckily they did have a key.
Yeah.
And managed to get inside. The first thing I wanted to know that the board was exactly the same as mine. Sure enough, it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, that Skyskipper cabinet in NOA had the serial number 0001.
Mm.
So it was the first one they'd made.
Yeah.
And it had a bit of sun bleaching, you know, some of the artwork was faded because obviously it'd been in a window somewhere, but we were able to vectorize it. And our good friend Muddy Music from the arcade shop was able to add color to it and get it back to what it was, you know. But yeah, the whole story behind that was incredible. The game's not so great because once you've looped it two times, it just
flips. It's understandable why it was
released.
Yeah, I think it's a good game.
I mean, I like it. I mean, but I can see why a lot of people don't. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not amazing, but it's an average game, I guess.
I guess so. I mean, I quite like the graphics on it because it's very similar to Popeye.
Yes, it's scrolling. So for an early game, it's got scrolling screens, three scrolling screens, which is quite unusual. I'd never get rid of it, but it's not one I play a lot. Well, I've got what else? We've got Wizard of War in there, which is a fantastic game by Midway. It's a two-player game. And I've just picked up a Gorf, which runs on similar hardware.
Yep.
Both got synthesized speech. I'm a bit of a sucker for games with synthesized speech.
Yeah. But it's so 80s, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a big thing hearing that when it first came out. We were all like, oh, my God, they're talking. Whatever next.
That's it. It's amazing. You know?
What else? Moon Alien, I just picked up. Quite a rare cab.
Yeah, I've never seen that
before. No, it's basically a Nishibitsu clone of Galaxians.
Right.
Really good, actually.
I'll take a look at it. I guess it's on MAME.
Yeah, it'll be on MAME. Yeah, you can play it on MAME. Astro Blaster in here, of course, which is
quality game.
I don't even remember that back in the day. Fell in love with that.
I did see it. I think, again, it's probably the Working Man's Club that my granddad used to use in Chief.
Yeah. Well, I fell in love with that at the arcade club. I played it up there and was blown away by the speech and the gameplay. I thought it was awesome. Yeah. Sheriff, another extremely rare game, only three known in the world to exist by Nintendo.
And again, it's a game you have to play.
Yeah, you can only really play it on the...
Because of the controls.
It's got unique controls, so it's got like a gas knob.
Yeah.
Eight-way control knob that moves his arm all the way around, and the other stick moves his body. But it's a beautiful cabinet, and an early example of Nintendo. One of Nintendo's first ever real IPs, really.
Yeah.
It was the first game that Shigeru Miyamoto designed.
Right.
And he did all the artwork. And you can see the artwork's done by him.
Yeah.
And that's actually been confirmed by Nintendo, which I was really chuffed to find out. And then Robotron, which is a twin-stick shooter, probably my favourite arcade game of all time. I think it's brilliant.
I've always just loved that cabinet as well.
Yeah.
It's big and beefy. You know?
Yeah, it needs to be because I throw it about. Yeah, it's an awesome game.
Get a bit rough with it.
It's just an amazing, amazing game.
Yeah.
And then Donkey Kong Jr., which is one of the first Nintendo games I picked up.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I've got to get a Donkey Kong board for that so I can play Donkey Kong in it. You can have double Donkey Kong in it.
Yeah.
So I do miss that, actually. And, so I've got a few more coming as well. Might have a little bit of a surprise, another extremely rare cab coming to this collection. Yeah, extremely rare, I'm hoping. I can't give too much away on that at the moment.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Any games that you really, you know, like a Holy Grail sort of thing is...
Well, this one I might be picking up would be a Holy Grail. I'd love an iRobot.
Yep.
But for the money they are, I don't think I'd probably get one of them. Food Fight would be cool.
Mm. With the arcade collecting, obviously there's more machines in America. Do you find yourself importing more?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. In fact, it's cheaper, to be honest with you, than buying here sometimes.
It's mad, isn't it, with all the shipping? And
if you're you know, if you're on it all the time, so many face groups now, and it's all about who you know, not what you know, really. Yeah. Once you get in the community, start chatting to people, and say, oh, I'm looking for this, and go, oh, I know someone that's selling one. You know, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Word of mouth. You know, if you're out there putting the feelers about, you'll find what you want. It's not that hard to find. You know, it's all out there. Shipping's not too much hassle these days either, really.
What's the first machine you bought?
Space Invaders. Yeah, and that was 10 years ago now. I remember Vic coming round because we couldn't turn the volume down.
Right.
So we actually, I literally had to put a sock in it, in the speaker, because it was so loud. It was so loud. And I won it on eBay for £300, and I didn't have room for it, so I rang my mate up and said, Neil, do you mind if I drop this one? He's like, what? So, yeah, went to his house, and that was it. I was hooked.
Yeah.
Joined the forums and met like-minded people and found it a great community.
So you didn't start off like with a main cab or anything?
Never. I nearly did. I nearly bought one of those cocktails you see with all the artwork all the games on. I nearly pressed a button. It was £950.
Oh, blind.
And that was 10 years ago. Yeah. So that was a lot. But I nearly bought one.
Mm.
But I didn't realise you could find the originals then until that came up. And then for me, it's always been about the authenticity, the originality of the original games. I actually like restoring them as well.
Yeah.
You know, I love, I'm not very good at electrics, but being a builder, I do like getting involved with taking the metalwork off, stripping it down, respraying it, you know, bit of woodwork and stuff like that. I'm good at that side of things.
Well, I always used to watch John's Arcades and, you know, I found it fascinating. Obviously, he's not producing videos at the moment.
Anymore, no.
But, you know, I think watching him work on some of those machines, that's what got me into it.
He's so enthusiastic.
I've only got a main cab and it's, you know, it's just an old generic cab, but I did do it up, restored it.
Yeah.
So, looking pretty nice anyway.
Well, John's been great for the community, to be honest with you. He's been around. I've been watching him since his first video when he had an incredible Nintendo collection. Yeah. That's all he had, Nintendo cabs.
Mm.
And, you know, I just dreamed of having that one day. And that's what really spurred me on to collecting Nintendo machines, to be honest with you. His collection, he had everything, radar scope, you know, the red tent. And he's such a lovely guy, you know, when you meet him.
Yeah.
So enthusiastic.
So he came over and stayed with you, didn't he?
Yeah, he stayed here and, you know, I took him up to Soho, which was quite funny. Great guy, so enthusiastic. And I met him in America as well first for the Skyskipper reveal in Atlanta. It's where I first met him, which was quite funny. Sitting at a restaurant with Billy Mitchell, John Jacobson, Whitney.
Yeah.
Van Burnham,
big faces.
Van Burnham, who wrote the arcade books, he was there, and it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's
cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll get back into the... I mean, he hasn't got rid of his collection or anything, has he? He's just taken a break.
No, I think he's slimmed it down a bit, because he's got his hands in so many pies. He does a lot of music, records. He's got a family, obviously. He does the podcast as well.
He was doing videos once or twice a week. I don't know how he was banging them out.
But you can't keep
that up. No, you can't. It's going to take its time.
You're going to burn out after a while. I mean, you're just doing it not for yourself, but for the channel. And I think...
No, you've got to enjoy it.
I mean, when I upload a video, it's on my terms. I've got to be in the mood for it.
Well, it's same with the podcast. You know, with the Manic Miner episode was out just after Christmas, and we're nearly at the end of January now. Time this episode goes out, it's been nearly a month.
Yeah.
But the way we work is, you know, we like to enjoy it.
Yeah.
If it becomes a chore, then you're going to end up resenting it.
Yeah, and so many people do, they give up and say, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore and shut things down. Just do it when you want to do it.
I think, you know, all this, you've got to be able to enjoy it. Don't do it for figures, like listening figures or, you know, with YouTube, your views and all that. People will come if they know and they can see that you know what you're talking about and you enjoy passionately what
you're
doing.
I mean, for me, it's always about the games anyway. Yeah. Not about me. My channel's not about me at all. It's always been about the games, you know, and I want to play the games. I don't want to just keep talking about them. So, you know, I might play, get into a game for a couple of weeks, then do a YouTube video because I feel all pumped up and passionate about what I've just been playing, you know.
How many people have you been round, you know, you go round to their places and...
Yeah, so I'm on my 18th game room tour now.
That's doing well.
Yeah.
You know.
I could do with some more people coming forward, but
yeah,
I've got...
you've heard it here, people, if you want to, if you want to visit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not easy to write someone in and showcase what you've got to the public. I can understand why a lot of people don't want to do that.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, there's so many people out there with so many amazing collections. And what I find interesting is how people collect. Everyone collects. We're all into the same thing, but everybody collects in a completely different way.
Yeah.
You know. You know, you got your hoarders.
Yeah.
You know, just ram everything in there.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the perfectionist, a bit like me, likes everything neat and tidy on the show.
I'm definitely more the hoarder. It just gets rammed in and it's a mess.
Yeah. And then you've got the gamers that don't really collect. They just love playing games. Yeah. You know, want to get that high score, which I like as well.
Well, that's probably one of the better things to do. Cause you end up buying so many games and not playing them.
Yeah. I mean, I love all aspects of it, to be honest with you. There's certain YouTubers like Electric Adventures, Tony. He lives in Tasmania.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a fantastic collection. He's got so many games, but he does play them all.
Yeah.
I know he's not that well, but he does play them all. And he's actually really interesting to listen to. And, I totally appreciate that. And he's always looking for a bargain. You know, he won't pay top dollar for a game. He's really into his MSX
collecting. Yeah, I've noticed that, But he's got a nice big room there as
Nice big room, yeah.
Is that a basement room, I think?
He's got a few arcades. He just comes across really well and genuine, you know. YouTube's a funny place now. I mean, it's all becoming about money, making money,
I've had a moan.
Yeah, I heard that one. Yeah.
A lot of people thought, oh, it's just Dean's obviously feeling left out or something.
Well, I hope my videos are not like that.
No, not at all. I just think that there's some people jumping on the bandwagon because it's popular.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just trying to make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
And they're not really into the scene.
No, you can tell it, though, because there's no passion there. If the passion's there, I don't mind pick up videos if the passion's there, you know, but some people just feel like they're just reeling off for the sake of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they don't know what they're talking about. What's, you know. I'm going off on that.
There are some good ones.
I better shut up before I upset people. I don't want to upset because there are, you know, obviously there's a lot of great YouTubers.
There is one of them.
So.
Yeah, there's cheers for that, mate. I mean, you know, I've been on YouTube, 8 years now, I think?
Yeah.
And I did the pickup videos in the beginning.
No, there's nothing wrong with pickup videos. I think it depends on the person, you know.
Yeah.
But there's I ain't going to name any names, but there's one that seems, you know, this console fails and it's a failure. And they just...
Right.
They haven't played it.
No.
They don't really know about it. They've just seen someone else's video and thought, oh, maybe I can do a video on that.
Yeah.
That just annoys me. But
I think it helps if you've lived through the console era to be passionate about talking about it.
Yep.
You know, you were there when it was released, queued up for it at the shop.
Yeah.
You remember the first games you had for it.
Yeah.
It's difficult to go back and review a console from a different time period, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've got into the PC Engine recently, some fantastic games, but I'm not that passionate about it.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the games.
I always wanted one, and it's a console I've still not bought. It emulates very well, and I don't normally go down the emulation route, but I've got this thing called RGB Pi.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called anyway. And it works with my CRT TV and the games look as authentic. Well, probably I say that, it's an RGB picture, whereas you have to have the PC Engine modded to get an RGB signal out of it. So you're getting a slightly sharper picture.
Yeah, you're getting the best out of it, basically. Yeah.
But, I would like the original hardware, but it's just justifying... Because I've got so many different... I collect hardware more than I do games. I've got all the 8-bit computers and, you know, a lot of the consoles. And it's just making a room for it. Yes, it's only small, but justifying the price and all that.
Yeah.
The games now...
So expensive.
Yeah. Really, yeah. You have to go down the SD card.
Yeah, well, I found that. With the Super, obviously, my favourite system is the Super Nintendo, but that's one I had back in the day. You know, that's my original box one up there. Mm. I fire them up and it takes me right back. The sound is incredible on a Super Nintendo, the graphics. I love it. Mm. Really, really cool.
You got the American machine there.
I've got the American machine. I didn't have an American machine back in the day. I have got my PAL one, but obviously...
Do you find it hard, though, to go back because of the speed difference?
Like the UK totally. Stuff. I can't play PAL games anymore.
No.
But I won't get rid of my PAL one.
No, it's...
Because that box is unique, and that's the one I had back in the day. But, yeah, no, I don't mind the American shape Super Nintendo. It's fine. You know, but it's the games I'm interested in. Course. You know, I'm... Yeah. You know, I'm not staring at the console when I'm playing the game. But
you get them at full speed. And
yeah, exactly.
I found, you know, I've got a UK NES and this RGB Pi thing. Also, it emulates the NES as well. And I'm running those at 60 hertz.
Yeah.
And when I go back to my PAL machine, which is...
Sounds off, doesn't it?
It sounds off. It's a composite signal, so it's not the greatest picture.
Yeah.
I just find it hard to go back to that.
It's, no, you can't.
I think once you've played a lot of these games at 60 hertz...
The thing is, when I was buying Super Nintendo games, the shop that I went into, Mad Andy's, he had a shop in Richmond, and he had a shop in Fulwell near Teddington. So he had two shops, and he'd have import American games and import Jack games and PAL, all mixed up.
Yeah.
You know, and you just brought whatever was available.
Yeah. So, would you have a converter back then?
Yeah, the converter. Just... So, one cart in the back and one sat on top and played it fine.
Yeah.
So, I've got no allegiance to PAL.
No.
You know, or any region, really. Mm. It's the game.
Yeah.
You know, for me. Yeah. And that's the same with the Mega Drive as well, really.
Mm.
No allegiance to any region.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people just collect PAL because of the boxes and everything, but. As I say, I went to shop and there were both regions in there. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me. And people say, why do you collect Americans? Like, why do you collect PAL? You know.
Yeah.
It's running slower in a smaller picture.
Yeah.
You know. What you could do is collect PAL and just play the games through an Everdrive.
Yeah, if you're into your collecting, you could do that.
Yeah, and never open the box then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely an option. Right. The arcade machines, the thingy ones.
The numbskull.
Numbskull. What do you think of them?
I like them. Yeah, I mean, I haven't brought them. I was given to them as gifts.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've been lucky. Got the Pac-Man last year for Christmas, and this year I did manage to get Galaga and Galaxian.
Did you say, actually, this was given to me by Numbskull?
It was, yeah. Numbskull don't like us. Well, they like us. They send me rubber ducks.
Do they?
But they don't send me arcade machines.
Well, I plan to do a video of the factory at some point and meet the director.
Ah.
That's my next thing, so look out for that, guys, on the channel. So I might have limited access to what's coming up next, hopefully.
Yeah, because they've got, what is it, Track and Field.
Yeah.
Bubble Bobble.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they'll play because obviously the games they've released so far, which is Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Galaxian, and Galaga, they're all fairly simple control wires, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whereas Track and Field, it's going to take some punishment on a small machine.
I think they've got to keep it simple, to be honest with you, and keep it classic.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
I mean, with Bubble Bobble, it's a two player game, so two people on a small cab.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll.
I've told them they need to release a Centipede and an Asteroids.
Right, yeah.
Definitely. They're both iconic cabs.
Mm. I suppose it's just down to licensing. If they
I think there's another company that's released a Centipede, but a smaller version. Yeah. Same company did the Tempest.
That's right, yeah.
So they're not sure whether to do that.
Based in the States, aren't they?
Yeah, but the Galaga, I absolutely love. Galaga, for me, is a fantastic game. Iconic cab.
I think they look superb. They really do look nice. Yeah. I know they're expensive, but they play well enough.
Yeah, and they do, and they look great, don't they? And, you know, if you've got a favourite arcade game, it's worth owning just one.
Yeah,
you know, if your favourite game, I don't know, is Galaga, then just get one. Why not?
Yeah.
It's not definitely not tap. People say, oh, it's tap. It's definitely not tap.
I don't think so.
It's well made.
I do want to get the Miss Pac-Man because that cab is so, yeah. I love the blue on it. It sounds silly. It's just a colour. But the cab itself looks amazing.
I know.
Just
to have that. I think now I've started the collection, I'll probably be hard to finish it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, just keep going.
Again, it's expensive. So about 130 quid each. So, yeah, Numbskull, if you want to send me some as well, please do.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, they're cool, man.
So, what you got coming up on your channel?
More game room tours this year.
Yep.
So, want to do more of those. But I do plan to move, actually, from here. The house is actually up for sale, so it's difficult, actually, to do that many videos. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I've got two new arcades I haven't shown to my subscribers yet, which I want to do. Wizard of War.
Yep.
Gorf. And that Moon Alien.
Yeah.
They're three games I want to showcase. So they're probably the next videos, and then the game room tours. But I really enjoy the game room tours.
Yeah. And then they're great to watch because you get an insight into someone's collection.
And
a lot of the time, you know, they're interesting people to meet. The last one down with Richie, I thought was
Richie.
Really,
did you enjoy that one?
Yeah. He's got them in that storage place.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
If you can run electricity.
Run electricity into them, I mean, for me, doing a game tour, I prefer, because it's so hard just sitting in front of the camera talking to yourself.
Yes.
You know, and I can't do it when anyone else is in the house.
I don't do a lot on YouTube, and that's why our channel's, you know, it's got such a low subscriber. I'm not getting people to subscribe. It's, you know, we don't focus too much on YouTube. It's always been about the podcast. But
for me, it suits me. I can do it when I want to do it. I'm not set to a schedule of any sort. And I did find that with, you know, when I was on a 10 pence arcade podcast, but I was going around to Vic's every week.
Yeah,
we weren't doing Skype then, so I'd have to give up my Sunday night every week, which was hard.
Yeah,
so that's one of the reasons why I stopped. Really, I just couldn't commit all the time. Yeah, I love doing it. I love doing podcasts.
Yeah,
what I like is bouncing off people.
Well, I thought that's why I come over. Yeah, it works better because you're in a rural place. I am too. The internet connection isn't always great. And just sitting with someone, I would love to record the Retro Asylum podcast.
Yeah.
All the guys in the same room.
Yeah.
It just worked.
It would work
better, really.
It would do. Because you can see each other, you know. You can bounce off each other better when you can see what they're
looking. Yeah, and we're not butting in.
Whether they're bluffing or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the time, played the game. You're just looking it up on YouTube.
Yeah. The only trouble is if someone lets one off, you've got to leave the room.
Yeah,
No, it's cool, man.
Yeah. Do you have any plans for, you said about starting a podcast or something?
I do want to start an arcade podcast, but again, I'm not very good on the computers. I hate going on a computer and talking to you. Maybe you can help me out with that.
Yeah, or if you just want to do an arcade section and you want to do that on Retro Asylum, I'm not holding you to that or saying that's what you should do, but if the offer's there.
I would love to do that, mate. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Cool.
We could do an arcade section.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get me on. I'd love to do it. Yeah. Definitely up for that. As I say, I'd like to start up an arcade podcast. I've just got to get all the mics and work out how to work it out on the computer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to make it too much work, you know, too much editing.
Yeah.
I'm much more a person just to sort of go off the cuff and just chat to people. And I think that's what I want to do.
It's when you're most comfortable, I think, as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what the plan would be to sort of do something similar to what I do with the game room tours is bring collectors in from the forum and chat about their collections and stuff on the podcast and games and what they're doing. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So we won't have really much of a format, but it'd be more like two guys down the pub chatting.
Yeah, well, that was the idea with Retro Asylum, you know, when we first started. It was just me and Andy.
So I've just
got Glenn talking rubbish, really.
Yeah. But I find him sometimes more fun, really.
Yeah.
You know, I do. Yeah. I used to love the Arcade Outsiders. That was one of my favourites.
Yeah.
You know, they went totally off on tangents, but it was quite funny.
He was drunk half the time.
He was drunk, wasn't he? Get his guitar out and start rambling on about something.
Yeah, good podcast, though.
Yeah, yeah, and they'd pick out dodgy sellers and stuff. Name people and shame them.
Name and shame them.
Yeah, we all like a bit of that.
Quality.
But I'm doing the UK VAC meet, so if any UK VAC members.
Oh, yes, are I saw out there, you advertise this. So, yeah, so yeah, that, give us the dates.
So that is the 2nd of May, and it's at Cheersley Village Hall, just right up the road from where I am at. So it's in between Oxford and Tame. It's not far from Tame, actually. So, yeah, so UK VACers, if you want to come along, it's just going to be, you know, a good selection, hopefully, of arcade machines. And really, it's just a chance for everyone to get together and have a chat, really. And, you know, if you've got stuff you want to bring along to sell, swap and stuff, we'll have a little table set up. But it's basically an arcade community getting together.
Yeah. No. And I've been to a couple of these sort of things.
Yeah.
Good crowd. Yeah. Everyone's welcoming.
Yeah. I mean, so normally we do it
before.
Normally we do it at the arcade club, but it's difficult to sell stuff. Collectors like to swap PCBs and and arcade parts.
Mm.
So I thought it'd be better if we hired a hall this time and did it further south as well.
Yeah, because everything's
always up north.
It's up north. I understand why, because the rent's cheaper up there. You know, we haven't got as. There isn't such a. I think there's a lot of collectors down this way, but
there's loads of collectors.
There's no. Obviously, you've got Ali's Place, the arcade, Leon C, but it's a lot smaller.
Neon Knights, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you been there yet?
I haven't, but I want to. There's another game room tour I'd like to do. Go down and see Ali.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. It'd
be worth doing. I'm sure he'd be up for it as well.
Yeah.
So, it's understandable why most of it takes place up north, but that'd be great. So,
yeah. About time we had a southern meet. We used to have one down in Worthing called, what was it called? I can't remember what it was called now. But anyway, it was at Worthing.
Yeah.
And that was a good 5 years ago. I've heard rumours it might come back. It would be good. Because I do get fed up with going up north.
Yeah.
You know, I just think we deserve one down south.
Yeah, well, it's a long way to go. You know, there's so many. I find it frustrating because, obviously, a lot of the guys are based up north. You know, Steve's up in Liverpool. Andy used to present the show. He's up in Leeds. You know, there's loads of people I know who are based up north, and they do quite often have their arcade meets. And I'd love to go. But it's just, we're adults. We're short on time.
Yeah.
You know, with real life going on and all that. Yeah. It's not always possible. You have to dedicate a whole weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I find it hard enough just going to Birmingham for Revival.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, it's a long drive and hotels and all that.
I mean, if people want to get into the hobby, just get on UK VAC, join the forum, start chatting. And then before you know it, you know, you might get invited to a little meet, because a lot of collectors have private meets.
Yeah.
They don't advertise.
Yeah.
Which I actually prefer more now than these big.
Yeah.
I love the arcade club. I will never put the arcade club down. I think it's a fantastic place. But you can get quite loud in there. You can get a bit lost in there. And I just find, you know, the little meets.
Yeah, for a social meetup.
Of a community feeling, I think, you know. And that's probably what I'll be doing more of this year.
Yeah. Are you at Revival this year?
I don't think so. Because it's 2 weeks before the UK VAC meet.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different event this year as well. It's scaled down a bit.
Right down.
There's two. I think he's doing one in November.
Is he?
As well, or maybe July. I'm not not sure. But Revival, I'll be at. That's in March.
Yeah.
But I'm only going on the Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've never been to the Blackpool one either. But I've done so many. You know, I've done NERG, I've done Arcade Club, Revival. It's a lot each year.
Yeah.
Just keep going to them. But I want to keep them going, though.
Yeah, sure.
You don't want to see them disappear.
No.
So it's good.
They're great events. Like I say, it's just for us down south, it's, you know, it's a mission getting to these things. And then
you've got a hotel.
Yeah, hotel. I'm knackered, especially with Retro Asylum. When we was doing the talks at Revival, we locked in a room.
Yeah.
Practically for 48 hours, you know, presenting these things.
It's a job. Full-time job.
It was harder than work.
Yeah.
I come out, I've got no voice left. You know, my voice would be gone. And, it takes a lot out of you.
It does. And you want
to
go there.
That's why we've kind of backed away from.
Yeah.
We go to them, but we want to go and enjoy them rather be a chore, you know.
I totally get that, mate.
Yeah.
I totally get that. It can get a bit much after a while. Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe just do it every other year or something.
Yeah, maybe. But, it's just finding fresh guests as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard work because you have to put so much planning into it. You're planning it good 6 months.
The only thing I worry about you saying that is that the start of that sort of retro scene sort of disappearing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it will be. I mean, yeah.
Or do you think someone else will take the baton and run with it?
They might well do. I'm sure that, I think with Craig, you know, he has his health issues as well. And
does he?
He gets, I think he needs to take a year where he's not, maybe, you know, just maybe cancel it for a year and then come back the year after.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be a shame if they do disappear. I'm sure they won't.
No.
He's very passionate about stuff.
It is a thriving scene. I mean, you know, the markets that are happening all over the place, you know, buying and selling retro games, the prices of them, says everything really, you know, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's still into it.
Yeah, everyone, I think that the bubble would burst by now, but it's just, the prices aren't reflecting whatsoever.
Not at all. Not at all.
Cool. Right. Well, I think that pretty much sums it up. You're going to let me have your Vec Fever now. I'm going to go home with it.
Well, I'm going to do some lunch first, mate. Do you want some lunch?
I'll have some lunch. That'd be great. We'll play some of these games.
We'll play some games. Thank you so much for having me on, mate. It's been fantastic.
It's been lovely coming around and just having a chat about this great system and you know, your collection of stuff is amazing.
Cheers,
it's great
mate.
To have you on.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you go, guys. I hope you've enjoyed that chat with myself and Alex, and I hope you've learned a little bit about the Vectrex. I know we don't really go into technical details. It's more about the games and how much we enjoy them and the system overall, you know, what we think of it. It's a great system, and as I said to Alex, the Vec Fever cart really has opened things up. Not only is it an SD card device, so you can store games on it, you can develop with it, and you can play old Vector arcade games such as Star Wars and, you know, all those great classics on a proper real Vector screen, and it really is something special. Anyway, it's starting to rain, so you can probably hear that on the shed roof. So I'm going to close this episode, but first of all, I just want to say thanks to the Patreons. We've had a few new people sign up this month, so I'm probably going to butcher your names, and I do apologise, but anyone who listens to the show on a regular basis will know that I'm not very good at pronouncing the more exotic names out there. Anyway, I'll give it a go. So thank you to Aaron Maupin, Aidan Marriott, Andrew Gilmore, Andy Marsh, ArcanaArt.com, Blake Brett, the Kane and Rince podcast, they're new, thank you guys, Chris Rowe, Chris Worthington, that name rings a bell, Clint Humphrey, that's whose Vectrex got broke, who I was talking to Alex about. Clint, you can get that fixed. I know the machine itself is still working. You'll get that sorted, mate, so don't be too disheartened. Thanks to Darren Coles, Duncan Bell, Edward Fitzpatrick, Gary Heather, Jim's Orbits IT, John Shepard, John Veal, Lampton Worm, thank you for signing up, that's a new name, Lawrence DeBrugin, Laurent Giroud, Magnus Esbjorna, Mark Bylands, Martin Stevenson, Matt Sullivan, Nick Lees, Patrick First, Paul Ashton, Reese Wynn, Richard May, Richard Rogers, Rick Jackson, another new name, Salvio Calabrese, Stelios, Stephen Bell, and finally, Stephen Stuttard. Guys, thank you so much for helping out financially with the hosting of the podcast. It's not cheap to do, and we really do appreciate it. Anyway, until next time, guys, take care. Mads and Chris will be back next with a Games Club episode. And then I'm sure that myself, Matt and Steve and Mads and Chris will be back at some point very, very soon. So enjoy your Spectrum next, those of you who have bought one, and we shall see you soon. Take care, guys.